Bob and Charlene Steinkamp, founders of Rejoice Marriage Ministries, invite you into their living room in Pompano Beach, Florida, for a telephone conference call. Let's join other men and women from across the land who are seeking God's restoration of their marriage.
Valentine's Sunday afternoon, a special day, and a day that Charlene and I thought would be the perfect time to have a conference call. And on top of that, we have a restored couple with us today. Charlene will be introducing. So we have the Great Northwest represented, and then also we have Kirby, who will hear more about him from Tennessee. So honey, you want to pray and we'll get started.
Sure. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for this day. We thank you this day of love. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you that we are not only thinking about love and telling our kids, our grandkids, and our moms and dads and family members how much we love them, but we're also praying and have spoken some way of love to their spouse who may be home but wanting to leave, or may be gone, or with someone else, or in a non-covenant marriage. So wherever they may be, Lord, we just pray you would speak Holy Spirit conviction to them today. We pray for all prodigals, prodigal husbands, prodigal wives, prodigal children, and we just pray that you would touch them and speak Holy Spirit conviction to come to their senses this very afternoon, this very evening. May you speak to them the way of escape from their mistakes that they've made, or wrong judgments, or wrong choices. And Lord, we ask that you would have them all pick up the phone and call their husband or wife or their mom and dad who are wanting their prodigal child to call and let them know that they're all right. Lord, we just ask that you would just ordain and bless this time. We ask that you would have many more standards call that have forgotten about it, and you remind them of it that they call in today. And Lord, we just ask that you would touch Adrian and Stephen and Kirby and give them the peace in the midst of talking to these standards, as they just remember they're like in our home and just sharing and talking about what has been going on in their own personal lives and how the Lord has changed their lives. So Lord, we just praise and bless this day, and touch Bob and I that we would speak your words also. And thank you for our granddaughter Allison working with us today. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I guess I'm going to start, and we are just so thrilled to have everybody that is calling in, and we want to give a praise report right now that this telephone call is fully paid for already by somebody that the Lord spoke to, and it is paid for. And we just praise the Lord that every single telephone conference call has either been paid before, right near it, or right afterwards. And we just give God the praise and the glory that that just shows we are to do it every month. So we're thrilled to have everybody here.
Well, honey, this one was paid for between 2 and 3 a.m., and I happened to be up sending out that Valentine's special when we received word when the payment came through, the contribution.
You're right. I did not know till this morning it was paid for. So that was my praise when I woke up in the morning. And I didn't know Bob was up in the middle of the night working for this. God spoke to him and wrote up something special for this late this afternoon that you're going to hear about. So we've been, God's already been working on everything long before, while I was sleeping. So I just praise the Lord. But we are thrilled to have you, and we want you to feel loved. And I want to open up with a scripture in 1 John chapter 4, and it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Verse 8, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God shows his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another." And that's where I'm going to start today, is that I want, and Bob and I want you to know, that regardless if your spouse is home, and probably most of you that are listening and calling in do not have your spouse home, you are loved by God. And we want you to be able to tune in and get into that love relationship with your Lord, that He is going to be your husband for this special season, as it is taught in Isaiah. And we know that sounds strange, especially for the men who say, you know, but I know that even many of our men who have written devotionals and have spoken have really felt the presence of the Lord and met their needs to help them through this difficult time. The God is love, and He loves you, and we want this day to know that God has amazing love, unconditional love. He sent His only Son to die on the cross, and that's why we can have victory, and that's why we can stand, is because we have a personal relationship with our Lord, and we can grow in the Lord, and that is why we know that our husband or wife, regardless of who it was, has fallen into a trap of sin or got brainwashed that they didn't love their spouse, they weren't happy enough. It doesn't matter why or how your marriage fell apart. It matters that your spouse comes back to know the Lord Jesus Christ and comes back home, and you have a strong relationship with you and your spouse, and God is part of your life every day. Let me introduce our guests, and we're thrilled to have Adrian and Stephen, and they are from Portland, Oregon, and we're thrilled to have them. And the reason we're thrilled to have them is they're a restored couple, and they've been back. I'm going to let them say how long they've been back together, but it's not just been 1 year. And they may not tell all the details today. This is about praising the Lord and sharing that God does give victory and does restore marriages. But Adrian and Stephen, we're thrilled to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
And I'm going to put, and we're going to do this with Kirby also, but what we always ask is one of each of you would share briefly how you come to know the Lord, how you came to know the Lord after your stand, or where are you now? We would just like to tune in. Is, I know when I was standing, I was a Christian when Bob left, but the Lord revealed to me later that I didn't know Him personally enough, and I didn't read my Bible and pray with Him fervently like I have ever since He left and came back home. But were you Christians when you both had marriage problems? Or Adrian, you share your short testimony, and then I'm going to have Stephen do it. Ladies first.
I would have called myself a Christian. I would have thought I was a Christian. I think, you know, like 90% of America does. I was a Christian. I mean, I went to church on Christmas. I had my kids in a Catholic school. I thought I was a Christian. And then through God's grace, I got to meet Him, and it was when Stephen left, and it's why when I would have started this walk, I said, you know, this is all awful, and by the middle of it, I was like, thank you, God, for bringing this divorce, because through this hardship, I got to know Jesus, and I got to know Him as my friend, and a relationship with Him, and He... You know, I've been on an adventure with Him ever since. And part of that, a big part of it has been my family, my husband, my marriage, and my stand. But it's only a part of it. We have a whole relationship that encompasses our whole lives. So as much as it's a huge part of it, and they demonstrated a lot about who He is and His love, it's only a piece of it. But I would say now I'm a Christian with a deep faith and relationship with God.
You know, the Lord is Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of your life. You've changed completely.
Completely. Completely.
I know you have. Now, how long have you been back together again?
Stephen left in January of 2003 and came home in July of 2005.
Okay.
And so he's been home since 2005.
So that's pretty good. That's
been
a praise.
For a long time.
That is a praise. That is a huge that's a huge praise, and that's what we want to give God the glory and the honor.
Yes.
Stephen, what would you like to share?
Well, that even though I came home in 2005, I wasn't completely home. And
Bob could...
Stephen, I know what you're saying, brother.
I wanted to be home, but I don't know if I wasn't ready or... You know, I don't have that answer. I just know that it's very different today.
Stephen, it just takes time.
Yes, it did. And
that's what we try to teach Sanders, that, you know, we have people who write us, "My prodigal came home last night, thank you, see you later."
And oh, God.
It's just a process. It's taken us 20, however many years now, honey, 23, and it still goes on.
Yeah.
But nothing, the people who get in trouble are the ones who have a spouse walk in the door, and the devil comes right in with them, and they don't know how to fight it.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Nope, that's okay.
I'll try to be quiet.
No, you're fine.
But I knew you two would agree on that as soon as you said that.
Yeah,
please continue.
Hey, we would agree on more than we would talk about, probably.
So it took, you know, an event in our lives for me to realize that I really needed to make a decision, and that was to be home completely or to do something different. And when I was faced with that decision, I realized that my heart had changed and that there was nothing I wanted more in the world than to be with my wife and my children and have my family back.
Wow.
And, you know, so that was probably 5 or 6 months ago, and that's when I really, you know, began to understand that it was a relationship with God that was going to give me what it was I was seeking, and I began to do things differently in my life, recognize the arrogance that I had lived with and had, and that what I needed to do was ask for help, and understand the forgiveness that I had been shown, and that's when I think that our relationship really changed, and, you know, and today, you know, feel better about our marriage than ever before.
That's awesome. And, you know, I know that I can say for Adrian, you probably agree, Adrian, is that you've been our after book and standing after the prodigal returns. It's a process that you have to stand as stronger than ever before than when they're not home.
You
are really walking the walk of unconditional love.
I only imagined. I mean, you know, I know when I first started, my prayer was, "Oh, bring him home, bring him home." I was just, that's all I ever prayed. And then he came home, and I was like, "Oh, my God, what did I ask for?" I mean, it was really hard. And part of it was giving up my time with God because he was there and he wasn't really walking with God. Part of it was his behaviors were things that I, you know, just didn't even want in my house at that time. And, you know, they were just things I was like, wow. But, you know, God really kept helping me push through. And, you know, as Stephen said, 5 or 6 months ago, I was really done. And things probably were better than they had been a long time, but it just wasn't going where I wanted it to. But it wasn't. It wasn't anything I could have contrived. I really think God let me go there to get Stephen's attention that last time. Because I, you know, God just, he will use everything for our good and for his glory, but you cannot manipulate that.
Right.
It has to be in his plan. It has to be what he's drawn out. And for every single stander and every single couple, he has a plan of what's going to work in your situation. There's no book you can say, okay, first I do this, then I do that. I mean, except the Bible. And he's going to show you the blueprint he has for your restoration. But you got to seek him. I could tell you everything I did, but it probably won't be what he's going to do. And I've read Bob and Charlene's stories, and they were very encouraging to me, but God did something very different for us. And I'm grateful, you know, because it developed my relationship with him. It developed my faith in him. It made him personable to me. And he knew me so well because of the things he did. And he knew Stephen so well, and he revealed things to me about Stephen. As I prayed for Stephen, he would say, you know, "We're going to do this because Stephen needs this." And I would not understand that, but I would just act in faith. And it would just touch and melt Stephen's heart. But I could never have thought of those things on my own without God showing me and the Holy Spirit guiding me along the way.
Well, that's that secret, Adrian, that we talk about, that God does speak. And you have to seek the Lord for his divine answers.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't seek the Lord for his divine answers of what we are supposed to do, regarding sending cards, birthday cards, anniversary cards, or changing children's back and forth or any other things. But once they move in the house, you really have to learn to zip your lips, and we have to learn to love our spouses. I know I had to learn to submit to my husband like never before.
Yeah.
And that's a word that a lot of spouses, wives, don't want to do in this modern day. But submitting
is not... Well, it's really
what
got our marriage into trouble to begin with. You know, I've learned that an affair is the symptom of a marriage problem. It is not the problem.
You're right.
And so when the affair happened in our marriage, you know, a lot of people can be very self-righteous and say, you did, but I had to really look at not the finger pointing at him, but the three pointing back at me.
You're right.
I facilitated it. I put a bow on his head and put him on her front door, as far as
right.
I was concerned.
Right.
Because, you know,
Amen to that one. I agree with you on that one.
And I was a really, really bad wife because I didn't believe in that submission. And, you know, when I finally submitted to the notion that I needed to be submissive to my husband, you know, God showed me a picture, and he said, you know, Stephen's going to make some bad choices. But he showed his hand was over the children and I. And if I would just follow God, mm-hmm. like, you know, follow Stephen like God asked, he would protect us. And he's been very faithful to that. And we're all going to make mistakes. It's not like Stephen was, you know, I never allowed him to be the leader of our home. So once I did, he's going to make some mistakes. And I needed to, you know, shut up and let him do the job.
And let God help him correct.
Yes, I did not. Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And we support them.
And keep praying that covering over him.
Yes, and that's the secret. That is so awesome. Well,
yeah.
We're thrilled. We are both thrilled.
I appreciate what you said about allowing the Bible to be your blueprint. Less than an hour ago, Charlene came in with three really great questions people had submitted for today. And she said, how can these be answered? And we talked about it, and it really is all a matter of God's plan for your family that we can't dictate, or we can't say this isn't the A, B, C answer to it. You want to go ahead, honey?
I think that I think so many times is we need to cry out to our Lord and say, Lord, I hurt here, I have pain here, I have fear here, I'm feel obsessed with my spouse. Is that bondage? You know, and I want to say, well, you got to really examine that. But since I don't know you personally and I don't see you every day, I don't know if you're obsessed or if you're really a prayer warrior. The Holy Spirit's putting that to pray for your spouse all
now,
the time
throughout
the day.
Now, be careful because two of the people those questions come from,
we met.
Know personally.
I know,
yeah.
I know. And, but the thing is that I believe that I know with our granddaughter, Ashley, or with other different people, I know Stephen and Adrian both have a son in the service now, and I'm sure they must think of their son many, many, many times throughout the day, lifting up, asking the Lord to protect him. So I just think we all have to remember that the Lord wants us to remember, when he brings it to mind to pray for your spouse who's gone, when he brings it to mind, or you think of them, lift up a prayer and say, Lord, if this is the enemy tormenting me, then remove their thoughts that I can't even work.
Honey, we're not supposed to use names, but let's give them their son's name. And are we allowed to say where he's stationed?
Well, I'll let Adrian say that.
Yeah.
His name
or
is
Stephen.
Yeah.
Whichever one.
And the rest of us who are taking notes, please put him on your prayer list for his safety, like so many others who have family members in these areas.
And we have a lot of standards who are in the service, Bob, and in Afghanistan and Iraq. We need to pray for the military. We need to pray for all of the contractors that are over there.
And civilian employees.
Exactly. Exactly. So you two tell about it, but we need to pray for all of them.
Yes.
And Kirby, we haven't forgotten you, brother.
Yeah.
We'll get back there.
We're gonna get to you, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah, his name is Dimitri, and he's from he's in Afghanistan. And we just got an email. He will be home in 70 days.
Praise the Lord.
We appreciate everyone's prayers over him. And, you know, I would just say, Charlene, you were just saying something about, you know, some people being obsessed, and it brings that scripture to mind for me about taking every thought captive.
Right.
And that is really a discipline, and it's something that you have to work on and practice all the time.
Right.
And I remember I used to pray like a maniac for Stephen, like we all do, and then God made me fast praying for Stephen for 40 days. I was not allowed to pray for him for 40 days. And in that, I really saw a ton of things happen that were really great, but I felt like what God was saying is, listen, I have this under control. You're not getting him home by your prayers. I mean, if you are working in conjunction with me, and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we pray. And but on the other hand, Adrian was not going to get the glory. And sometimes I would step into that role, like, wow, look what I'm doing, you know, and which sent me into a path of self-righteousness as a stander. And God really had to bring me out of that role and make sure I realized he was God and I was not.
Adrian, that is a very powerful word that we all have to be careful and not become how great we are, even in our churches, in our Bible study classes, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That we're being such great people that we're doing this and we're, you know, suffering for the cause of Christ to get our marriage restored, but we do it with such pride
mm-hmm.
and piety. You know, sometimes that's why our marriages are not getting restored, because we've got so much pride that we can't let our spouse walk in the door. You know,
right.
We need to be humble.
Right.
And we need, only by the grace of God, we didn't make the mistakes. So I agree with you totally
on
that.
Before we go to Kirby County, can we do something?
Mm-hmm.
Let's stop right now and pray for prodigals, so they would be reminded of what they had at home on Valentine's Day.
Okay, I'll let you do that one. I just prayed, so.
Okay, you go ahead if you don't mind.
Oh, okay.
Please.
Lord, we just praise you and thank you that we do right now lift up every prodigal. And we just ask that you would just do a Holy Spirit revival and conviction of across the United States, around the world. We are just asking that you would just supersede and just start speaking individually to thousands and thousands of husbands and wives who have walked away from their covenant spouse, and we just pray that you would just go and speak to them right this very moment, that they cannot, just like we're talking about having an obsession, Lord, I pray you would put a Holy Spirit conviction on them that they cannot stop thinking of their husband or wife and children, if there are children. And Lord, we just pray you would just speak such conviction that tonight all they can keep thinking about is all of the memories that they had on the previous Valentine's Day at their home, and what they have done, and all the memories, the good memories. And Lord, we just pray that you would speak to them, that they would have to text or email or pick up the phone and say, you know, I keep thinking about you so much today that I want to make sure you're all right. Some way, somehow, just knock down that wall of silence that has blocked so many spouses to hear from their spouses, even from months to years. And Lord, we just pray that this will be the day where two or three are gathered together. We have more than 100 of people gathering in agreement that they will have communication with their spouse tonight. But speak Holy Spirit conviction to their spouses to come to their senses, to have that prodigal come to their senses, escape from the trap of the enemy, and to come home. Come home to their Heavenly Father, and come home back to their family and to their waiting spouse. And Lord, I pray for the spouses, that any of us that have had that self-righteousness of what we've done or what we're doing or all that we have done, we would remember that we are been called, it's an assignment, and it's what a privilege to be chosen as a prayer warrior and intercessor for our family members, not just for our spouses, but for family members and other people, other standards. And may we ask you that you would remove any spirit of pride or self-righteousness, and that if this is blocking even the restoration of marriages because of the sin in our own life, Lord, we pray you would remove it from all these people that are listening to this. May you seek the Lord and say, is this what's blocking? And we'll just give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Stephen and Andrean, we're going to come back to you later, but I've got to get Kirby into this. And Kirby is so special because he is a stander now, but he was a prodigal first. So Kirby, how have you come to know the Lord? Were you a Christian before? I'm going to let you share your testimony a little bit.
Thank you. Thanks, Charlie. I grew up in a Christian home, and I mean, our family was actively involved in church, I mean, and things. So we went to church, you could probably count on one hand the number of Sunday services we might have missed in a year's time growing up. And so, and I was familiar with church. I was familiar with church terms and all the little nuances that go with that and things. But and I made a profession of faith when I was 12 or 13 years old. But to be honest with you, I basically did that just to get my mother and dad off my back and things. And we had a revival, and it was a very high-pitched from an emotional basis and things and such. And I remember being confronted in our little small kitchen and basically, you know, in all honesty, I kind of felt trapped. I thought, I'm going to make a decision, or I'm never leaving this kitchen. And looking back on it that way, and such. But fortunately, after I got married and such, and our oldest child was born and became of an age where it was time where she was starting to understand the gospel and her need for salvation. I remember one December night talking to her and explaining the gospel to her and presenting the gospel to her, and coming to the realization that, you know, I'm doing this to her, I'm talking to her, but I don't have that certainty myself that Jesus, I had really accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Just convicted about it, and at that point made the decision there that I'm going to nail this thing down and to ask the Lord into my heart. And like I said, I was involved with the church. I grew, and like I said, our family grew and things. But over time, things just settled in, got comfortable. And before you know it, through my work, I was involved in an affair, and obviously knew that what I was doing was wrong, and kind of drew back to a certain extent within my involvement in the church, but not so much that probably would drew attention to myself, but I knew in my heart I was wrong, and like I said, made sinful decisions, and that lasted for about 2 years. As a matter of fact, twice along the way, I told my wife that I was involved with another woman, and that I was looking to get a divorce, and we kind of carried it to the brink, and just never could finish it out. Never could bring myself to basically tell the kids that, hey, I'm going to be leaving your mother and things. And the third time, I never could drop that relationship though. I was just that bond of sin was strong, and I just couldn't walk away from it, so I maintained that contact. Well, the third time my wife found out and that I was still involved with the other woman, and she confronted me about it, asked me to leave the house, and to that she was trying to contemplate just, you know, what she wanted to do with our marriage, and made the decision that we were to divorce. And I basically gave no resistance to that. I knew I was wrong, and like I say, when confronted with my sin, I knew I was wrong, and such. And I just made the decision that I'm going to go along with my wife to do it, to make it go as well as possible, to kind of lay maybe the groundwork for any reconciliation that we might have and such. So I've been out of the house for 11 months, and we've been divorced for about 5 months and things. But the Lord, at the same time, it has been a mighty work, and through this situation, the Lord has drawn me closer to Him. I've seen come to a realization of the sinful life that I was living, and I truly believe that if I hadn't, it took this to bring me to the point that I needed to be to address my sinful condition.
I've heard that before, and Kirby, you are not the only prodigal standard prodigal. Now, I want to tell you, we have so many that have been the one to commit the adultery, the affair, to commit that sin of sexual immorality, and then they turn, and the Lord touches them and speaks to them and shows them
what they're giving. And also, you have five children, do you not?
I do. Children,
and how old are they, from what to what?
From 23 years old to 6 years old.
Okay. So you know that there had to be a lot of tugging while he's having that relationship, that there are children that need him to be the father and to be the example for them and help them through. So we are just, praise the Lord, for the prodigals that find us. And how did you find us? That's a good question.
Well, it is funny. I actually found you through another Christian website. And what was funny was that website actually had a blog. They would have their various, where they had their daily programs and such. And I kind of happened upon one, I think, about, you know, folks who had discovered their spouses and affairs and forgiving them and such. But then they would have like a blog on that. And I at that time, this was probably back in, say, about May or June of last year, I really got discouraged, because on this blog I would go, and it was really like there was just such bitterness and hatred and anger towards the sinful spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where I just thought, I can't handle this. I can't read this, you know, because it's like, gee, you know, these people are just beating me over the head and things. But fortunately, there was one day where somebody responded to it, and they made reference to the Rejoice Marriage Ministries website, you know, referring people to that and things, because, like I say, and so I saw that, and I was, you know, matter of fact, I was looking back. June the 16th of 2009 was my first daily Charlene Cares daily devotional, and that was Bob wrote that one and such and things. But it was so funny. But I really consider myself, you know, like I say this. But I think about it, Charlene. The you're talking about, as a matter of fact, on the Christmas story CD,
right?
In the message where you make reference to it, people have, you know, had gotten y'all's website, and some of them didn't for months later or whatever. But it is amazing how the Lord knows us so well, better than we know ourselves, when we're ready and things. But how the Lord has just blessed me by making, you know, drawing me to your ministry, making me aware of your ministry and what it has meant to me in that respect. Because, like I say, I was very discouraged, and I was not seeing anything, even on Christian websites, even though this wasn't information that particular website probably would have condoned. But, like I say, under people's responses to adulterous partners, and, you know, basically, I mean, they
weren't praying and covering their nakedness, as we teach.
but like I said, the Lord's hand was still in that, and it worked, and the Lord certainly knew and knows best.
You know, Bob and I talk about the internet, and we don't criticize it too much because we're on it. But our website is not totally all that we do. But the big thing is we hurt for people that get so addicted or get onto these websites that have such freedom just to share all the circumstances and just do the husband and wife bashing. And that is not healthy for anybody to read. And it's something that we just have to say no to, and really say, Lord, keep. If I'm going to do anything, let me tune in to something that's going to be healthy and make me to be a better Christian every day. We have to, and really have to do a self-examination. Is that are we connected to the right things that will help us? Or because it's like going to divorce recovery. Some people can go to that and be a witness. But most of the time, they will possibly get a mate out of divorce recovery. My husband did.
It almost worked for me that way.
Exactly. So, you know, Kirby, we're thrilled to say that. Let me ask you one other question, because I know Bob wants to speak. But, Kirby, have you been able to share to your wife that you're standing now and praying for the marriage to be restored?
I have. As a matter of fact, as our divorce date drew closer and things, I decided to write what I just referred to as a letter of standing and things, and basically just told my wife that even as it appeared that the the divorce would go on. It was inevitable that that was going to happen. But that was my intention, so that I intended to continue to love her and to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, and that I didn't use the thing about rocking chair till I was 80 years old or anything like that. But basically that and such. And I remember when my wife got that, I left that at the house for her. And a few days later, she got that. We were talking about something, and she says, we need to talk. We need to talk. Well, we had, in the meantime, one of the children had a birthday, so I was there at the house one night, and I thought, well, if she wants to talk, I'm not going to bring it up. I'm going to let her bring it up. And we actually went for a little walk there in the neighborhood, just she and I, and it was about a 30-minute walk and such, and we walked, and she never brought it up, so I thought, well, I mean, maybe there was a, but about the time, we actually, for some reason, our little 90-day time period that we have here in this state, I thought that we were going to be divorced by mid-September. Well, I remember by late September, I was doing some things, and she was going at the house, and she was going to come by. She works at night, and she was going to come by and things. And when she was there, she kind of confronted me about, well, look, you need to, our marriage. She kind of gave me, our marriage is over. You just need to get on with your life. Don't, if you're thinking you're doing stuff because we're going to get together, that's not going to happen. It was, and which is a story. To be honest with you, I remember thinking, I thought, I have already read through the Charlene Cares and through the website. I thought, well, that did not take me by surprise. Now, I wasn't gloating or, et cetera, but nothing that she said took me by surprise. So, like I say, and I have been careful to let her know that I still love her, that I'm not out dating and, carousing and such, and like I say, and also Bob, trying to take those steps, not being out with even business luncheons, in a situation where a woman's sitting there. I even, when I go to church up here in Tennessee, Bob, we actually have to carry overcoats sometimes to church, and I will even set my coat next to me to basically give me a little buffer space so that my...
Praise the Lord.
Because we still go to church at the same church. I don't even want my wife to mistakenly see a woman sitting close to me thinking, now, are they sitting together?
Exactly. The appearance of evil.
Because she's watching you. Out of the corner of her eye, she is watching, she is looking, and she is waiting to hear a report that you are messing up.
That's right. And, Kirby, I know Adrian and I can both say to you, you have just got to keep praying, and I know I'm talking not to Kirby only, but to many, many Kirbys and many Susans and Janes, that when you have a prodigal that repents and is really totally committed to praying for their restoration of their marriage, it is the most illogically in my and Bob's heart, especially my heart. Once we have the prodigal come to their senses and repent, it seems like, okay, this is the marriage that's going to get healed and restored so quickly.
Honey, these people have walked both sides of the street. You've never been a prodigal, and I've never been a stander. So we read a lot about it, but we've never been there, but they have.
Right. But what I'm saying is for the spouse who's been wounded, which both Adrian and I can admit, that once, if I could have seen you truly repent and turn
right.
and make that
right.
evidence, I know I would have, I believe in my heart of hearts that I would have said, okay, come on back, because I will, it's that trusting and forgiving, and we have just got to, it's a walk with the Lord, and I know Kirby and Adrian and Stephen, you all are knowing what we're talking about, because forgiveness and that trusting the Lord is a huge thing to be able to do. And until you are able to forgive over and over and over and over again, and that is really number one, because Jesus says he's not going to forgive us if we don't forgive others. And we have got to understand, and we need to pray. Oh, and dear Stander, I cannot tell you, I want you not to be so selfish, so self-centered, so self-righteous that you would pray for only you, your spouse. Please, we have got thousands and thousands of children involved in not having their parents both home. And we need to know that we are causing heart trauma and wounding to these children, and we need to get the families back together again. So what all that we can do, we need to pray for each other, but we need to know that forgiveness is paramount with the Lord. It says in the Lord's Prayer, after the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew chapter 6, it says, verse 14, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Now that's saying, if your spouse commits adultery and you don't forgive them, you know, well, I can forgive them, but I'm not going to bring them, I'm not going to let them walk back into this.
See, that's house. Not forgiveness, though.
That's the secret.
God really describes forgiveness, and I would challenge people to look up the word forgiveness and really see what the definition of it is. It means hold harmless. It means not letting people, you hold nothing against them. It's like where God says, "I forgive you," and he throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. When I hear people say that conditional forgiveness, "I'll forgive you, but,"
right,
that is not true forgiveness, and that's not how we are forgiven. And if you're only receiving that kind of forgiveness from God, then you are limiting your relationship with God, because he's offering you so much more. And
well, the Lord is also saying, please give me, you forgive them and trust me with their spouse.
Yeah.
Quit, you know, you're to forgive. And Jesus also said, and let me go to another scripture, because some of you people may be having trouble right now being wounded again today by not hearing from your spouse. And you are battling unforgiveness. You are battling forgiveness. You are saying, "I'm tired of forgiving. How many holidays do I have to forgive?" You need to forgive them all. You
Amen.
Need to forgive them every day. Every day you need to forgive your spouse before you go to bed of all that they've done. So when that person walks in that door or comes over for holidays, birthdays, whatever, you're going to have that unconditional agape love. And that is what we have got to have. That is what this whole day is about. You know, we have been teaching it this week. It's agape love. It's not the love that is the world is talking about. We're talking about agape love. God's
Wouldn't it be great if they changed the name of Valentine's Day to Forgiveness Day?
Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, there's that little word that I feel like God gave me today. And when Stephen went to church one time years ago, there was a scripture he kept saying. Oh, the minister said it. We were in the Bahamas, and he said, how does that scripture go, honey?
The day the Lord has made,
I will be glad and rejoice in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve would always say that to me. I would get so mad because it would just annoy me when I was grumpy. He'd say, "Honey, don't forget, this is the day the Lord has made." And I had to keep reminding myself of that. And I will say that today is a day that God made. Now, Hallmark may have meant it to break your heart because someone didn't show you their Hallmark love, but God is giving you his love. And it's a day to receive that and rejoice in this day. And we can make a choice every day whether we are going to rejoice in our day or not. It's a total choice. It's a little easier to make the choice before you get out of bed and see what the dog got into the trash and the puppy left a surprise for you to decide that. Keep plugging away and rejoicing in every day, whether it's Valentine's Day or not, because God loves us. And that, just keep receiving that love and choosing to believe that. And I just feel like it's a choice that we have.
Ladies, if y'all don't mind me interjecting here, of course, you know, and I appreciate your words and such. And I'm gonna tell you, I've looked at it and such, and I have hurt my wife extremely
right.
Bad, and I understand that. And I do look forward to the day, like I say, that I look at it and say, you know, her lack of response, or sometimes response that maybe that I wouldn't have wanted. But if you don't mind me quoting a little scripture here from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 and 17, I treated that, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory."
And that is positively true.
Right.
The scripture I was going to say is Matthew 18. I'm going to use the New King James Version. It says, then Peter came, verse 21, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Thinking that was a lot. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven, which means he was saying to him, I want you to keep forgiving forever, over and over and over and over and over. There's not a number. And I want you to know that there, the wounding that I had is why I divorced my husband, because I hurt so bad with the wounding that I got to the point that I could not forgive him anymore. And I didn't know about agape love. I didn't know how to receive agape love. I didn't know I could ask the Lord to pour it on me, keep filling me up every day because I need a lot of it. I couldn't understand that at that time. My heart had become so hardened and bitter and angry that I developed anger, bitterness, and rage in my own way by divorcing my husband, even though I had everybody in the church telling me I was doing what God wanted me to do. But God didn't tell me that. You know, I had just I reached my limit because of the wounding, but I didn't turn to my Lord to heal me. And that is what we got to pray for. You know, we got to pray for all the standards to be healed, but we need to pray for the ones like Kirby to pray for their spouses to be received healing and the Lord's love just bathed over them to receive healing of the wounding that they have, that the Holy Spirit will speak to them, I'm in charge, and I can heal and restore your marriage. You can trust me with your spouse. You don't have to walk in fear. And you know what? I've talked to many, many Kirby's wives, and other responses. Bob and I have talked to both types, both husbands and wives, and it scares them to bring a Kirby back home into that house,
right,
to walk in and say, I know that you're not going to hurt me and wound me and the children again. But you know what? The Lord can work that all out.
Right.
And that is where those prayers and those scriptures are just going to work awesome things. And we have just got to keep trusting the Lord. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And you, Kirby, can take that scripture and ask that the Lord would transform and renew your wife's mind as much as Adrian would be praying for her husband. You can pray it the same way.
Well, and I would hope that Stephen prays these things for me. You know, I remember praying for him, and I had this little book, Praying for Your Husband, and I'm like, these are great prayers. I need to pray these for me.
Right.
You know, renew my mind, transform me. I'm nowhere near perfect. And so I started adding my name right alongside his.
Adrian, I did that back 25 years ago. When I prayed Ephesians,
I need some of it.
Right. When I prayed Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, 16 through 20, and I would go through and read, go into Ephesians 5, I would put all our names in it, and I would add our children, and I'd add, now I pray our family, and then I say all the standards, all the prodigals. I make it a corporate prayer,
yeah.
And I think that's what we need to do. We cannot just be so selfish.
I pray for my daughter-in-laws, who I have not met yet. But
I agree.
Because they are somewhere in this world, and I want protection. I want them
right.
to be godly women.
Right.
I have these three sons, and I
right.
have one daughter-in-law.
Right.
But I want to tell Kirby a really cute story, if it's okay. Kirby, Stephen used to come watch the kids because I had to leave for work at 4 o'clock in the morning, so he would get out of work late and come stay at our house after our divorce. And
that's a miracle.
Yeah, it was. It always was. I always smiled. Because what woman in her right mind was going to let her boyfriend go spend the night at his ex-wife's house? I mean, so anyway, I knew it was but he was going to take care of his kids. And anyway, it was very funny because he used to say, you know, out of the blue, I'm not coming home. I'm not coming home to you. You know, and I didn't talk to him about it. I didn't bring it up. I didn't say a word. So one day God just said, well, why do you think he's thinking about it? Then I was like, oh, you know, duh, because God was putting it on his heart. But just before 4th of July, before he came home, he came over, and all those other times I had go to bed crying. He says he's not coming home. I kept believing the words that coming out of his mouth instead of focusing on God. So this last time he said it to me, I looked at him, and I just started laughing. And I was laughing all the way down to the bedroom, and he's going, you're in denial. I think you've gone off the deep end, you know. And I said, it's okay. Good night, honey. I'll see you later, you know. And I just went to bed with a smile on my face because, like, suddenly it was very clear to me. I was more focused on God and what God said than what the lies that were coming out of my husband's mouth, right? And that 2 weeks, then the 4th of July happened, and there was a huge blow-up, huge. Him, his girlfriend, and I, it was very ugly, and I was very inappropriate. And I thought, yeah, God, I've undone all your work. I have undone everything you have done. He's never going to get to come home now, right, again, because it was all about me. Well, 2 weeks later, he came home. He came home, and he came in that front door, and I think God was showing me a couple things. One is, I cannot undo his work. I can work in cooperation with it, but his work is his work. And two, not to believe what came out of his mouth. So it doesn't matter what our spouses are saying to us, because they are not the truth, the way, and the light. God is. What matters is what's written in the Word of God and the promises he has made to us, and we need to focus on those, because otherwise we're on this emotional roller coaster, believing everything they say, and they wax and wane. You know, they're double-minded. And so I just, you know, want to encourage you, Kirby, that my husband said the same thing to me on more than one occasion. I can't have you back. I will never come back. And, you know, and of course now that is a whole different story today. So I hope that encourages you and others a great deal.
Well, you know, I think the one big thing is Bob and I say it a million times in a million different ways, and I guess we have to keep, and you have to say it over and over again because we get new people every day, but, you know, we say don't listen to the words that your spouse is saying. Listen to the Lord.
Right.
And what he is saying and doing in your life, and standing on the promises that the Lord is giving you. Kirby, I don't know if the Lord has given you other scriptures, but or if the Lord has given either one of you, Stephen or Andrea. But I believe that's one of the secrets that I did, and it's standing on the promises of God,
right.
Standing on the words that the Lord had given me, that when I was reading my daily devotionals, that the scripture just would just seem like a question, an answer to one of my questions. It was just a rhema word. It was just a scripture for me. And I know that God is speaking to so many standards through the Word of God or through a sermon that was just meant to be. Today, our pastor, and we're going to read it tonight, today in just a few minutes, 1 Corinthians 13, but he says, in verse 8 says, love never fails. And he says that means in your marriage, you never quit. You never, ever stop forgiving and working on your marriage for the rest of your life. And I was just jumping up and down in my heart, because that I wrote down right in my Bible, never, love never fails, never gives up. And that's what we're talking about. Right. We standers, we walk in love, in agape love, we never give up on what our spouse is doing, and we never give up loving our spouse and being the parents that we need to be, and be the loving examples and helping our spouses as much as we can in the midst of this. We need to understand how important our children are, and that they need to see us radiate the love and concern that we have. And, Stephen, that sounds like you were still divorced and still had that other relationship, but your burden and your responsibility of being a father sometimes superseded that other relationship. Am I hearing that correctly?
Absolutely. That was always very, very present in my thoughts.
And that don't you think that the Lord keeps using that as a tug to come back?
Yep, I most definitely do.
Because you did not divorce your children, did you?
No way. And in fact, I mean, for me, that was something that I kind of had to come to terms with, was, you know, learning to, you know, kind of separate, you know, some of that stuff where, you know, when am I home, and really understanding that I'm home to be Adrian's husband versus home to be a father for the kids. And I know that Adrian went through some of that too, that it was, you know, why are you really here? And mm-hmm. what are your motives? And
right.
Is it about the family, or is it about us first? And without us first, you know, there really isn't a family. So, but to answer your question, there's no doubt the kids are still very, very important.
There's scripture in Malachi that I used to pray over and over, and that was to turn the heart of the father to the children and the heart of the children to the father, because I didn't want the children to be embittered towards their dad.
You know, I just opened to Malachi, and what scripture she just quoted was Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. And it's a very important scripture. We all need to pray. He will turn the hearts of the fathers and mothers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers and mothers. I say that very strongly because there are some of you that have not seen or talked to your children for many number of reasons. For quite a period of time, and there is nothing that Bob and I are more burdened about is to restore those relationships, that the divorce does not separate the children from their parents. And we need to pray that the relationships with their children, that the children do not become embittered and take sides and divorce their parents also. And that is something we're really praying for, and I pray that all of you will pray for an agreement that we get our families. We need our families to accept the spouses home and love them unconditionally. Also, Kirby, are you able to see your children?
Yeah, fortunately, matter of fact, there's probably just a handful of people even today that know that my wife and I are divorced. Like I said, because of our work hours and such and things, her working basically like a second shift, me working here today and such, I'm still involved with the children, you know, going to ball games and functions, you know, going out to eat and things like that, and things. And my wife has not been out there, you know, I mean, I've seen folks who got divorced and, you know, where the spouse wanted, they had parties, you know, celebrating divorce. But to my knowledge, my wife is probably just done on a needs to know basis, and I've kind of I use that same approach and things very few people. But I'm still involved with the children. Now I do want to say something though, especially you mentioned about the folks who are new with us, and maybe some of the folks who have been a long time. While I was having my affair and still living at home, being busy with your family and doing stuff with your family is not the same as loving your family.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the justification that in my mind, the big lie that I told myself was, hey, I'm meeting my wife's needs, I'm doing all this running with the kids and doing all this stuff, but the thing is, and I treated my affair, my adulterous relationship, kind of like a multivitamin, but this is just adding a little bit extra to my needs, and that was, like I said, that was the big lie. There are people out there who are listening today who have fallen for that same lie that they even though they know what they're doing is wrong, they are justifying it, saying, well, my wife is happy, you know, and my kids are happy, and I'm doing all this stuff. Well, doing stuff with your kids and doing stuff with and for your wife is not the same as loving them. But fortunately, like I said, we do have a situation where I'm still involved with the kids, and I have even involved my kids, like I say, because I, you know, my older kids, the 14-year-old and the 18-year-old and the 19-year-old and the 23-year-old, I've told them, I said, this is an opportunity for us as a family to be drawn closer to God, and that even though I acknowledge that I've hurt your mother very much and such, as we each will make a conscious decision as to how will we elect this affect us, and when we make the decision whether we're going to use this as something to draw us closer to God, Or is it going to be something where we're going to allow Satan to gain even a larger victory by us rebelling against God and establishing bitterness against each other and the premises of the church and everything else?
Well, I agree with you totally on that. And we all have a choice. And some of our standards are still battling between using tough love or true unconditional love, agape love. And I can tell you, and I want to say this on here, that there is no greater gift that I believe any of you can be giving your spouse today than loving them unconditionally and waiting on the Lord to heal and resurrect your dead marriage right now. And I know that the Lord is going to heal and resurrect your marriage if you will stand firm and keep your eyes on Jesus. Stop looking at your circumstances. And as Adrian has said, stop listening to the devil's lies from their mouths, because that's where we're going to go. I do want to do two more things. And Bob, are you need to say anything before I say a couple of things?
No, I don't.
Okay, honey. We got a testimony from Washington, and Bob gave it to me today, and I just think it's appropriate to read it. It says, I've been praying for God to change my husband's heart, but he changed mine. I was so blinded by Satan that I could not see my own faults. The day God changed all that in me, I met my husband to switch the kids in a fast food parking lot, and he asked if we could all go in and eat. We sat for 20 minutes with the kids, like the family we once were and will be again. God showed me I'm on the right track, and he even gave me the biggest rainbow I've ever seen on the drive home to prove it. I'm now praying that God changes my heart so I'm ready when my husband comes home. And that's just what Adrian and I have been talking about today. Don't get so focused about your spouse's sins that we are not willing to change ourselves. You and I must standards. We must change. If we think this whole marriage problem started with your spouse only, we're wrong. And the Lord will convict you if you start reading the Bible, revealing all the things that we do wrong. And we all need to become more Christ-like each and every day. And I believe Stephen and Adrian are going to know for the rest of their life, they're going to have to work on loving each other and being more Christ-like each and every day. And it's a process of rebuilding their house. And as our house, we've lived in our house almost 43 years. And you know what? It has to be repainted. It has to be remodeled. And you have to buy new furniture. And you have to do remodeling and all these different things. And upgrading it and updating it. And guess what? It's going to take all that many years for you to have your spouse to be all that your marriage to be you want it to be. And then you're going to have your kids move out, as Adrian said, and you're going to have spouses come get married, your kids get married, and you're going to have grandkids come in, and that's another whole facet. But guess what? You still need to put your husband and wife first in your marriage. So I'm just thrilled that we got to mention that and mention kids that are getting older, because we need to be praying for them.
You know, and I don't know, Kirby, did you say that you involve your kids? Because the kids and I used to pray all the time. And the kids would pray with me for their dad to come home. And they got to learn a lot about God and his miracles and who he is. And they go to a little Catholic school, and pretty soon the whole school was praying. I didn't realize they were in first and second grade, and they went to school and told everyone. And it was on every bulletin board, every prayer bulletin board in the school. And I think people thought we were all crazy for a while, and then pretty soon he came home. But that spoke to so many people about the miraculous. There's people watching you and watching when this happens. It's not just for you. It is for our good and for his glory. It's really all about God. And it's just so about God and his glory and his glory and his glory. And I just want him, I just hope that he could be glorified in our marriage, in our family, and in your marriage and your family every day.
In every marriage, in every family.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, of course. And I'm fortunate, like I say, having five children, and especially the oldest ones, it's amazing. Of course, the interrelation between the children and their stages of the family and the siblings. But my second daughter, who is also away at college, matter of fact, if you don't mind me sharing, Charlene, I actually handmade a Valentine's card for my wife. I had a Christmas card and just didn't felt led to give that to my wife back at Christmas, and I really doubted that I was going to do a Valentine's card. But one night I woke up with some Bible verses on my mind, and I basically handmade, I got up, made some notes that night in the middle of the night, and said, I made some notes. But my second daughter, that I had been able to share pretty much with and such, did make reference that she and her one of her care groups there at school, she wanted to share that with her group for prayer and things. The boys, the third and fourth child are boys, teenage boys. They're a little bit more reserved and things. But like I say, but I have shared with them, about this is for them from their personal growth and personal prayer time. I've encouraged them to use that as a time to be drawn closer to the Lord and things. And we've had some prayer time. Of course, like I say, I'm typically there at night. Be honest with you, I still kind of feel like a stranger in my own house, and that there's sometimes it's almost like, well, I just want to get out of there before even the thoughts of my wife coming home and things. There's just a discomfort that I'm afraid that by seeing her that I want to evoke some type of harsh reaction and which would be disappointing on my part and such, but I have seen this as an opportunity once again to share with the kids from a spiritual basis that this is an opportunity for spiritual growth.
I want to say also before Bob, we're going to open up with prayer, but
honey, I'd like to, if you would turn things around, we'll do it backward.
Oh, okay.
Second half hour.
So we're going to do the commitment first.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me say this, that there are, I just lost my train of thought, honey, but that's okay. Where Adrian said about the holiness and for God's glory, if she is speaking exactly Ezekiel 36, verses 22 and 23, so I want you all to know that and then go into 26 and 27 of taking that heart of stone. But I just want you to know that having Stephen and Kirby here, standers, there are some of you that are still praying for your spouses who are home to have that experience that Stephen has had. Don't give up. Don't give up. They've been back together a long time. And don't give up on your spouse, regardless if they're home or not home. God is in control, and God is going to do what he needs to do if you will be faithful and do your part and obey the word of God. Just read the word and obey it. Honey, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. We know that many of you today, your church had renewal of wedding vows for couples, and you probably sat there like didn't know what to do. So this afternoon, we're going to do a vow of commitment for the restoration of my marriage, and this is interactive. We would like for you each to participate. You can be in your home alone, but you can still participate. So we're going to do this, and after this is read, we'll go into prayer time.
I want to open up with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I want to read 1 through 8 for all of you. And I'm sure many of you might want to open up the Bible and read with me. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails.
Father God, I come into your presence on this day alone, yet surrounded by other men and women just like me all over the world, and recall with much fond love that day past when I just say your name aloud if you would,
Kirby,
took spouse to have and to hold from that day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part, according to your holy ordinance. And therefore I pledge myself to my spouse. That was my pledge then, and that remains my pledge today. God, forgive me for my part in this present temporary failure of our marriage, an institution ordained by you, but being attacked by Satan, not only at our home, but for scores of other families. Forgive me for failing to pray for our marriage as I should. Forgive me if I was not the husband or wife that you intended me to be. Forgive me for not praying for my spouse as I should have. Forgive me for not understanding what you designed love to be. Father God, from this day forward, help me to be serious about standing for the restoration of my marriage. Guide and direct me to live and to love your way with unconditional love. I pledge to you my purity, saving myself for the day of our restoration. I ask that you lead and guide me to carefully follow you and to worship you. I pledge to learn more about you and your ways. I pledge to fight anew the spiritual battle that has come against our home. I pledge to stop looking at the calendar and to stop questioning your timing. I pledge to find a local church where I can become involved and become a witness to others of what you can do for a troubled marriage. Greatest of all, Lord God, I pray for my covenant spouse, the one I love, who once stood in your presence, looked into my eyes, and promised they would be my wedded spouse, to have and to hold from that day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part, according to your holy ordinance, and pledge themselves to me, Father. As I seek your correction for my beloved mate, I also seek your divine protection. I ask that you keep them safe from harm while waiting for them to return to you and to me. On this day, Father God, I, say your name aloud,
certainly
renew to you my commitment to until that grand day when in your divine timing you have both of us ready for a marriage restored by you. May both of us from that day forth always be ready to proclaim in any way that you provide that God heals hurting marriages. Today I make to you, my Father God, this renewed vow of commitment for the restoration of my marriage. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And now what we want to do now is go straight into our prayer time. And we're going to do just popcorn prayers of all of us going back and forth. And we may be able to do it more than one time as we still have several minutes, and we'll just be praying for different people, pray for our government, our military, pray for our spouses, our children, however the Lord leads you. Let's just pray for the male standards, the female standards, however the Lord leads you. Let us just keep going back and forth just with short prayers, and we'll just keep going back and forth, and then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer.
Father God, I just come before your great throne of grace and mercy, and we just praise you. All glory and honor is yours. You are God, and we are not, and we acknowledge that. Lord, I know that you have a set plan for every single one of these people, and you're just excited to even share it with them, and they just won't look. So, Lord, I ask that you would bring people into you and show them the blueprint for restoration. You would show them your individualized plan for them, and they would be in an alliance with you, and they would understand what good friends you are, that you are a joyful, happy God, and that you're looking for a relationship with them to restore their own life, their spouse's life, and their family life, step by step by step, that you have a plan for that, Lord. And I ask for you to just share your joy over that with them, and that they would also see that joy in you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
Father,
Father, I just thank you for the friendships that you've allowed me to develop through this ministry. I thank you for Bob and Charlene, who become like second parents to me. I thank you, Father, for the stand that through their acts, Father, that 20 plus years ago they may have never seen this growing into a ministry. You were in charge and you had a greater vision than we could have ever had ourselves. Father, I know it's so easy to look at our individual circumstances to think, woe is me. But Father, your hand, you have been so faithful. I thank you for that. I just pray now, Father, that there are folks listening in on this call or will be listening in later going through circumstances that I can't understand. Father, it's not important for me to understand. Most of all, it is important that they will turn their lives over to you, allow you to work in their lives, and that through this trying process, that one day they will look back and say, this was the greatest thing that ever happened in my life.
Amen.
That this caused me to submit myself to you.
Amen.
Father, thank you for loving us. Let us be obedient to you. Father, by being obedient, it's not being obedient in some things, but being obedient in everything. Make me submissive. Father, find me faithful. Of course, in Jesus' name I pray.
Lord, we just come to you and we just praise you and thank you for all these people that are listening, and we thank you for Adrian and Stephen's testimony. We thank you for Stephen being so honest with his testimony of the Lord just touching him, just opening his spiritual eyes and ears to see the importance of him being a husband just even so recently. Lord, we pray that you continue to grow mighty to be the husband and father that he needs to be, and is going to grow to be even more in years to come. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for the Kirby testimony. Kirby represents so many of our own standards that have made a mistake and are praying, is my mistake, is the consequence, is going to be too much that you cannot reverse it. And Lord, we are just know that there is living proof over and over again that Kirby is going to be able to come back on to this very program with his wife and have a restored marriage in the future. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for my husband being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and getting up in the middle of the night and writing out the vow of commitment to the restoration of your marriage. Lord, we just praise you for his anointing on my husband, for his writing abilities and his sensitivity to hearing the Holy Spirit when the devil will come and try to steal, kill, and destroy everything that we touch with our children, with our grandchildren, with illnesses. And Lord, we just pray that you will just do a mighty work in our own family of protecting us from the evil one. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue to use my husband's wisdom and knowledge in running this ministry. And we just pray for his healing touch on his body. Lord, we just pray that you will touch every standard today, that you will make them to have this commitment of recommitting to their marriage even more. And as Kirby has said, we are so blessed to have on the internet where hundreds and hundreds of people can hear this very telephone conference in the future and be touched by it as just if it was happening at that very moment. And we just pray that it will give so many people hope and encouragement. Lord, I pray for every standard that today they will be encouraged to hear what they've heard today. I pray they will have that hope and confidence in their Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that nothing is too hard for you to rebuild and restore. But may it make a new commitment to us to seek your face and to seek the blueprints of the ark. As Noah was told to build the ark, but he was told how to build it. He was not given the choice of building it his way, but God's way. And I pray that we understand that we're not to rebuild our marriage by our plans, but by your plans, Lord. And we just pray that you will just speak to every standard, to die to our own flesh, die to our own plans and will and way, but surrender today, surrender your will, your way, that we would bow down and say, Lord, change me, mold me, remake me to be the husband or wife that I need to be. And Lord, I just pray that you will just give them then the blueprints one day at a time of how we are supposed to rebuild and resurrect, how we're to rebuild and repaint our homes to be what they are supposed to be. I know with tornadoes or hurricanes, we have a lot of work to do afterwards of cleaning up, and I pray that you will clean me and all the standards up first, and we just give you the praise and the glory of what you're going to do.
Father, I just thank you that you are the true vine. Father, I just pray that through this season of pruning that you have put me through as a branch, Father, that you just prune away so that I'll be a faithful and fruit-bearing branch. Father, there are folks who are living in difficult circumstances and who are having to pinch pennies and who are having to have doubts, Father, but you are the real and living God. The same God who formed and created the earth, parted the waters from Moses. Father, you haven't gone out of business, and I thank you for that. Father, find me faithful, that I will trust you and submit to you a daily walk. First in Jesus' name I pray.
And Father, I just ask that you would give people your eyes to see circumstances, your eyes to see the situation, your vision, your perception, Lord, that we could sit up in the heavenlies next to our Father and say, oh. Lord, that you would give your holy revelation to people about Scripture, that we can just recite it with such religiosity, but to really give it your emphasis in the way you say it, Lord, so that we can really understand your word through your holy intervention. We ask for this in Jesus' name, that everyone would be totally understand your word as you spoke it. It's the living, breathing word of God. And Lord, I just ask that people would not see their how big their problems are, but how big their God is. And they would continually see how big their God is. So much bigger than our problems. So much bigger than our situations. You are a God that moves mountains. You are a God that parts seas. You are a God that can bring famine or bring feast. You are God and we are not. And I ask that people would have the opportunity to see your mighty hand move in a way only God can. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that you would start even this minute, that as our spouses stood in by proxy, that their heart would break, that they would start crying. Even in the presence of the other woman, they would just start crying because their heart is breaking because they just renewed their vows to their spouse. Lord, I just ask for you to move in such a mighty way. And Lord, I just bring to remembrance your scripture that says that the adulterous woman's words will be bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. And I ask that today would be no exception. In fact, it would be an exacerbation of that scripture. And their spouses, these husbands and wives that are with the wrong person today would remember that. They'd say, wow, my wife never spoke to me that way. Or my wife doesn't speak to me that way anymore. And that will all come into remembrance this day. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray.
Lord, it says in Hosea chapter 2, therefore I will block them, his pathway with thorn bushes. I will wall them in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers but not catch them. She will look for them but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband or wife as at first, for then I was better off than now. Lord, it said, you told Hosea he was to love Gomer. Show your love in chapter 3, verse 1. Show your love to your wife or husband as though she is loved by an adulteress or adulterer, and love them as I have loved the Israelites. Lord, may we stand on the word of God, and may we know that we pray against the spirit of alcohol, of the spirit of adultery. We bind against the enemy coming against our spouses, our husbands, our wives, our children, with the even the temptations of our teenagers of going into alcohol or drugs or into fornication. Lord, we just pray that you would touch all our family members. You would touch our extended family members who do not know you as Lord and Savior of our life, their lives. We pray for their salvation. We pray that they will be able to come to know you personally. And Lord, we just pray that you would move on so many of our family and loved ones, that you would move on our nation. You would touch the president and all the leaders of Congress and the senators. You would give them divine wisdom of your plan and purpose for this government, and may they be obedient to your will and way and not to their plan. Lord, we just pray that you will touch our nation, that would we have a revival toward having Christians get on fire for you and share the gospel wherever they work, and we become a nation that where we trust, under God we trust, but Lord, we pray that you will have a nation that is seeking your face, and we are just on fire for you, and we are talking about putting prayer back into school and not taking anything out of school any further.
Yes.
Lord, you can do anything. You're an awesome, mighty God, and we just ask that you would restore and stop and stomp out divorce in our nation, and that our churches will be the lighthouses, and we will not have the same percentage that they say the world does, but we are going to be different, and we will be the lighthouse for marriage restoration in Jesus' name.
Father, I thank you for three people who were willing to show their other side today and risk what they have for the sake of helping thousands of other standards around the world. God, may you bless each of these two families represented here. Father, I pray for every person who's listening. We know of one woman who's listening from her mother's nursing home room. Many are on cell phones. Some have had to step outside their home because a prodigal spouse is there and they want to hear this. God, may you bless each home. As has been prayed so often this afternoon, may you touch prodigal hearts to do what's right. More than that, God, may you touch the hearts of us who think that we have it all together.
Amen.
That we will get more together with you and what you want to do. Lord, I thank you for the mechanics to make this possible. Thank you for the people who give to make all of this possible, God, that we don't have to worry about how each standard is going to pay for their 90 minutes or long distance, that you've covered it all with two people helping. God, we just thank you for this ministry. Charlene and I feel so unworthy to do what you have us to do. We thank you, though, that you have entrusted us with it. Lord, you know the greatest need of every person here. If we could, we'd love to visit them and say Happy Valentine's Day and give them a hug. But that's impossible, so we're going to just collectively say Happy Valentine's Day to you. We love you, and thank you for giving up your Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
We know people have been hurried home from church or been late getting back to church so they could hear everything that's happening. Lord, I pray that we've given them nuggets of gold today, that our guests have given nuggets of gold to help them make it through another week. That's really what it's all about, God, to keep going and serving you. Lord, thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for the mighty blessing it's been to me and to everyone who has listened. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Adrian, Stephen, Kirby, we thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Kirby, by
thank
the
you.
Way, our granddaughter who's here helping us has on a University of Tennessee t-shirt this afternoon.
So well, tell her not to step outside the house.
You tell her we'll send her a University of Oregon shirt. Apparently she's
well,
got the wrong shopping place to shop. We'll fix her up.
We're just so blessed to be able to meet with all of you this afternoon this way, and we're thrilled. And it's become our custom. I don't even know how it started. We often pray the Lord's Prayer together. We open it up to everyone. So if you're watching the Olympics, you might want to tune the TV down just a little bit so we can all hear. And we'll have, it looks like, 169 people, Charlene.
Praise the Lord.
So give us just a minute. Let us say goodbye to all of you right now. And give us just a minute to get it connected, and then Charlene will begin, and we'll all try to pray together the Lord's Prayer. Any closing thoughts, honey?
No, I'm just thrilled of all everybody said today, and I just pray that all these prodigal standers will be encouraged today, and the prodigals like Stephen and Adrian having a restored marriage in the process of having their home rebuilt, what a testimony they've shared today, and we just praise them for their honesty also. So we've been blessed also today. So
we love you.
We love everybody. Thank you. And
you know, it's been many years. I sent you a card a long time ago, and I just, God showed me your ministry, and I was just thinking about it. It's been over 7 years that I've been reading your devotionals. And
you're still reading them.
Still reading your devotionals.
And that's a secret. That's a secret. You know what? We can't stop standing. Ever.
Well, because your devotional, when you look and you step back and look at it, big picture, it's not about just saving your marriage. It's about your relationship with God, you know?
Amen.
And that's what
Adrian, you've got it. Now we just got to get pray for everybody else together.
Okay, here we go. God bless you all.
Our Father,
if we can help you in any way, we invite you to visit the website of Rejoice Marriage Ministries at www.rejoiceministries.org. Thanks for joining us today as we proclaim that God heals hurting marriages.